Last Sunday morning, I delivered a sermon which asked the question, am I losing my relationship with God? It's a very sobering question that I think we need to ask ourselves frequently through our lives to be sure that we are in harmony with God's will and we do have the right kind of relationship with Him. I wrote this lesson, though, because I fear that there may be times that we fall into this trap of Satan that so many in the brotherhood have fallen into, and that is perhaps we don't place Christ first in our lives. We allow other things to get in the way. And I realize that all of us are guilty of what Paul describes in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, where he said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And also of what he said back in verse 10, when there is none righteous, no, not one. I realize that we all fit that bill because we all have sinned and we all have had times of unrighteousness in our lives. Because of time constraints, I was unable to finish that lesson. At the end of the lesson, I had several people to come up to me and say, I'd like to know the rest of the story, the rest of the points in this lesson. So I thought maybe tonight, I was going to do this morning, but we was wanting to get out a little early today, so I didn't do this lesson this morning. But tonight, I would like to finish last week's lesson and talk about the points that I did not get to last week. Before we do, however, I would like to do a very quick review of some of the things that we talked about last week in the event that some of you were not here for that. First thing we talked about in answering the question, am I losing my relationship with God? We discussed that we can lose our relationship with God by putting others or things before God. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 24, no one can serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to be loyal to one and you're going to despise the other. You are not going to be able to serve two masters effectively. And there are times, I feel, that when all of us allow things to come in between us and our God, because as Paul has already said, Romans 3:23, we are all guilty of these things. We all have moments of weakness. We all have moments of sin when we allow things to come in between us and our God. We talked about losing our relationship with God when we lose the urgency to save other souls. You know, we think about the lives that we live, and I would think that most of us in this room, we live the good life. But we really never think about the good life for other people. We think about our lives and how we live and the things that we have and the things that we do and the things that we have as Christians. And we never really stop and think about those who do not have the spiritual blessings that we have. We talked about the rich man and Lazarus and how after his death and where he wound up, he began to think about those who were still on this side of eternity, his brothers, and the things that he could do for them to teach them so that they would not come to the horrible place that he was at. So sometimes we wait too late if we stand in his shoes. So we never need to lose the urgency to reach other people with the gospel of Christ. We talked about losing our relationship with God through negligence in our attendance. And I know that I'm talking to the choir here. We don't have this problem, those of us who are in the room tonight. So maybe I should save this point for next week and say it again. But you know, God had a reason for asking us to come together. And that reason is because we are stronger together than we are when we are apart. We look at the early Christians in the book of Acts, particularly in Acts chapter 2 near the end of that book. That chapter 2. And we find the people are very strong. They have one mind, one bond, one goal. And they are bonded together in love and unity and purpose. They were one. They were together. And we must be together. We can grow as they grew. We can be strong as they were strong. But we have to be together. We talked about poor Bible study habits and how that can cause us to widen the gap between ourselves and our Lord. You know, I brought out the fact that we can't learn everything here. It takes daily Bible study in order to grow as a Christian. We must be able to rightly divide God's Word. Coming to church is only a small part of that. This is something we must work at every day of our lives. We talked about losing our relationship with God because we're too busy finding problems with other people. You know, I talked about the complainer. You see, in most cases, the complainer has never been on the receiving end. I've always been taught that if you don't like something, do what you can to make it better, instead of complaining about the ones who are doing the best that they can. And also, 99% of all complainers could not do better themselves. And now, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Sometimes we're losing our relationship with God when we have nothing spiritually to share with our friends and family. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that you have an awful lot to offer as a Christian? I mean, we have a lot to offer other people as children of God. We have the good news of the gospel of Christ. We have a way for them to obtain salvation, which, by the way, we have been commanded to share with the world. We have blessings that are found only in Jesus Christ. It's true that God sends the sunshine and the rain upon both the just and the unjust. But as Christians, we have so much more than just the physical things that God gives us in life. We have a peace of mind that can only come from being a child of God. We have a perfect hope that other people do not have. Now, what I mean by that is while others wish that their lives were better, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that regardless of where we are in life, our life will be better. It may not be better here. It may not be better tomorrow, next month, next year, but as children of God, our lives will be better because someday we will get to live with God. And if you don't have this, then you have lost something precious, because this is what having a relationship with God is all about. Not this life, not today, but on down beyond this life into the next life. Sometimes I fear we are losing our relationship with God when we refer to the members of the church as they. Now, what I mean by that, you no longer feel like you're a part of the group. You have alienated yourself from the faithful. And we've all heard this happen. You let the church start a new mission program or a new Bible class or maybe even a new building project, and sooner or later, someone's going to step up and say, oh, well, they're always doing something. And when you've done that, you have left yourself out of the church. It may be that you don't agree with everything that the church does. Now, I know for a fact, everybody in this church does not agree with everything that Terry and I do. I do hope that through our work together that we can always go forward. I'm not saying that we always do the right thing, because we don't. Sometimes we have to back up, as you say in football, we have to back up and punt and go the other way because what we have done did not work. And I, for one, am not afraid to do that. But the fact of the matter is, we have those who are not going to like what we do regardless of what we do. We do need to work together. We don't need to isolate ourselves from the church. We need to go back to the early days when the people were together. They had common goals. They had a common bond. And more important, they had a common love. Their love was for God. Their love was for their Savior. And their love was for their church. Sometimes I feel that we are losing our relationship with God when we give little of ourselves. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'd like to read this, and I'd like for you to read it with me. Paul is writing this to the Corinthian church, and he is telling them something very important about another church, another congregation, the church in Macedonia. Let's begin with verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. This congregation had the frame of mind that was right. If they're ever going to be what God wanted them to be, if they're ever going to grow, if they're ever going to succeed, they have got to give it their all. Now, I know that every one of us have had projects in the past that we have been a part of, and we were so excited about it. And we gave everything that we had to see its success. We've all experienced that. This is what we need to experience in the Lord's work. You know, if everybody gave everything that they had, and I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about of yourself. If we put our absolute best foot forward in serving God in Albany, Georgia, this building couldn't begin to hold the folks. There would be no end to what we could do in good for the Lord. But you see, it takes effort. It takes you doing something and not just sitting back and letting someone else. Those of us in here that are married, do you give all of yourself to your marriage? Well, you have to, if you expect it to be successful. You know, I've heard all of my life, marriage is a 50-50 proposition. No, it's not. 50-50 proposition marriages fail, generally. Marriage is a 0-100 proposition. What do you mean by that? Zero for yourself, 100% for your mate. If everybody practiced zero for themselves and 100% for your mate, I can promise you, you will have a wonderful marriage relationship. Because you're always thinking of the other before you think of yourself. And it's going to work that way. I can show it in Scripture. This is what God expects of us in our relationship with Him. He expects a 0-100% relationship. You see, He has already given all He has for us. And in turn, we need to give to Him our all, our energies, our time, and yes, our money. We need to give Him the very best that we have, because, friend, He gave us the very best that He had. And you know, money is not always the answer. We talk about that a good bit. Sometimes the church needs energy. Sometimes the church needs your time. It takes time and energy to prepare this congregation for certain events. We have a vacation Bible school coming up in a couple of months. We've already got the money set aside for that. We have it. But we need energy. We need time. People to help us. It takes time to put bulletin boards on the wall. It takes time to build props, to get the classroom material ready for an event such as this. Our Friends and Family Day that's coming up next month, you will be amazed how much time and effort it's going to take to prepare for something like that. We've already got the money for it, but we need hands. We need help. So sometimes money is not always the answer. The last point I want to talk about tonight is the root of all of the other problems that can cause you to lose your relationship with God. I put this one last because this is the one I want you to remember. We're losing our relationship with God when we associate more with those of the world than with Christians. When we feel closer to the world than we do our brethren, our relationship with God is damaged. When we confide in those of the world and seek their advice and their wisdom rather than God's, then our relationship with God is being defeated. When we fail to realize that the world does not care about your soul, the world is not concerned about your well-being, when we fail to realize that, then our relationship with God has suffered and has died. You see, when we have a relationship with the world, it causes us to put things and others before God. It will cause us to lose the urgency in telling other people about God. It will cause us to lose the desire to worship Him and to be with His family. It will cause us to lay down His Word and not listen to the things that God has to say to us. It will cause us to look for the weaknesses in the church and in the membership of the church so that we can isolate ourselves and separate ourselves even farther from it. It will cause us to lose sight of our spiritual blessings. And it will cause us to isolate ourselves from God and from His people. Losing our relationship with God is by far the most horrible thing that you could ever do in life. Because it's a relationship that you once had. It was a relationship that was built on love, mutual understanding, admiration. Now those three things are gone. You're trying to separate from God who gives you all of these things. I ask you tonight, do any of these signs of drifting away from the Lord, do you find them in your life? And if you do, do you not realize what you are doing to yourself? And don't you see the end if you continue down this path? I want to leave you with one thought, and it comes from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Peter says, "For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." See, we sit here tonight with a relationship with God. And if we lose that, this is the result. Consider your soul before it's too late. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.